flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. Brian Keefe, the Wizards head coach, will join us in an hour. Ole, the goalie, is going to join us at 9 as we talk little Caps. And Sam Burrill, comedian, 9:25. I put up the Surfside poll of the day based on the discussion we were just having, because we didn't have time to take calls, about Justin Tucker. Our Junkies poll is brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories. It's got zero carbonation. They're fantastic. You can get them at liquor stores and convenient variety 8-packs. You must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Of course, order your Surfside at bars. And it's just a simple question about Justin Tucker. He's been accused of this inappropriate behavior by 6 different massage therapists. He denies the allegations. Do you believe him? Yes, benefit of the doubt, or no, he's a creep. You can vote at Junks Radio.
Oh, he's going to get no support.
Yeah. He's got 24% support in the first minute.
Who could believe him
Valdez
at first?
I'm kidding, Valdez. No. Don't look so offended. Yeah. Just say that because you're a Ravens fan.
I mean, you'd be surprised, DB.
I would be surprised. And here's the thing. I hope it never happened for everyone's sake. But it certainly looks awful.
It looks terrible.
It looks terrible.
All right, join us right now as our pal.
I mean, there's a chance. I don't know what percentage it is. There's a chance it's all lies.
Yeah.
And misinterpretations.
Wow, well, you know, that's what we thought about Deshaun, too, when we first heard it.
I'm just saying, sometimes that happens.
And then, you know, after a year, we said, oh, he's 100% guilty.
Join us right now is our pal Kevin McCarthy, Fox 5 Entertainment reporter. Hey, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Good morning. I mean, it's been a while, guys.
It has been a while. It's true.
Did you like my text bit on Sunday?
I mean, it's just,
your text thread.
It's just stupid.
You wanted us to watch a movie during the NFC Championship game, right?
Where were you? Were you out of town? Were you out of town or something?
No. I was doing interviews that day at home. But I, for people out there, what I'll do, I'll text Eric or the whole group like exactly when the big game is on and say, hey, do you want to meet me at a theater and watch a 3.5-hour film during the exact time that the game is on.
I guess that's funny.
You love your bit.
It is kind of funny. It's not as funny as he's making it out to be, but it's kind of funny.
It's just terrible.
No, but what I'll do is I'll add like an emotional element to it. I'll say, hey guys, it's been so long since we've hung out in person, and friendship is so important. Do you want to meet me at the theater to watch this movie? We're gonna have popcorn together.
Well, I'm bitter because I was at the theater waiting for you and you didn't show up.
I guess so. It's nice. Jaden Daniels was there too because he wasn't doing much during the game. So
hey, easy yeah. there, easy there, killer.
I'm just messing.
All right. So why did you say did Wahlberg have another shout out? I saw you say something like
he's getting jocked by a lot of people. I got to say, I sent you a message. Your Instagram, the way that you've changed the look of your Instagram with mostly headshots, it's done very well. And it seems like you're getting response from your Instagram from all these movie stars who are following you.
It's honestly crazy. Like I'll literally go into a Zoom with someone and they'll know my work. It's wild. Like especially some of these like Mark Wahlberg particularly. Like I guess he follows me and watches my interviews. But a lot of the younger actors, the generation are watching my stuff, which is great because as a journalist, you know, when you're starting to interview people who are like coming up in Hollywood and they're new, you know, like imagine if it was like a younger DiCaprio or a younger, you know, like it's nice to have like a relationship in terms of like interviewing at a younger start of their career. And what I mean by that is like, I don't know, like Noah Centineo, like obviously he's a big star right now. He's in the movie, The Recruit, or the show called The Recruit. I mean, he's been famous for a while, but like a lot of these younger actors are really big into filmmaking and they're nerds about like filmmaking, like Zendaya and Austin Butler, like, and obviously they're very famous, but like a lot of these younger actors are really big into the old school styles of filmmaking. And I think that's why it's connecting so well. So yeah, it's really nice to get complimented by people that I grew up loving or even younger actors who are, you know, are up and coming, you know?
Well, yeah, your Instagram, which is at Kevin McCarthy TV. I mean, you've got multiple videos that are over a million, 2 million views. So good job with that. All right, what movies do you have to discuss about today?
Well, I was just going to, because I haven't seen you guys in a few weeks, so I was just going to go over some films that were in theaters. And then I know the Oscars are coming up, so people are wondering what they should be watching. And then also there's some streaming shows right now. I'll mention the streaming shows. I mean, I don't know if do you guys watch The Recruit or The Night Agent? Those are two big shows on Netflix right now.
My wife watches both of them. She loves them.
Really? I haven't watched that. Yeah. I will recommend Paradise on Hulu, which is Sterling K. Brown.
Sterling K. Brown. But yeah, the Night Agent, if you haven't seen it, Gabriel Basso is the lead star. He's like a, you know, in the first season, he's an FBI agent. And then his you know, essentially his efforts to save the president lead him into the Night Agent program, the Night Action program, essentially. And so that's a big show that came out last week. That season two is now streaming. It was the number one show on Netflix. And then starting yesterday was The Recruit, which is Noah Centineo. He's a CIA lawyer, and in this particular season, he's thrust into like a life-threatening espionage situation in South Korea. And so season two is now streaming. So if you're looking for like a streaming option this weekend, I mean, Jason, I don't know if you've seen The Night Agent. That gives me kind of Jason Bourne kind of vibes in that way.
Yeah.
Very high octane.
How do I know
action.
Gabriel Basso? Do I know this?
Yeah. Did you guys see Juror Number 2?
Yes. I did. I liked it. Yeah.
I never saw that. Okay. Damn, yeah.
So Juror Number 2, he was the guy, for people out there who haven't seen Juror Number 2, which probably one of the, it's a great story. I mean, it's a crazy storyline, but Gabriel Basso's character is the guy on trial. For people who don't know the plot of Juror Number 2, essentially Nicholas Holt's character is chosen for jury duty. And when he gets to, when he gets there to you know, be a juror on the case, he realizes that he's the one responsible for the murder that the case is being done for.
Spoiler
alert. Well, I mean, it's kind of that is the plot of the movie. It's on Max now as well. But Gabriel Basso is also J.D. Vance in Hillbilly Elegy. He played J.D. Vance in the Ron Howard film a few years back.
Gotcha.
And so So those are two streaming options this weekend. And then in theaters is a big new horror movie out right now called Presence. Have you guys heard about this?
Have not.
So Steven Soderbergh, you guys know Soderbergh. He did all the Ocean's films. He did Out of Sight with Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney. He did Aaron Brockovich. He's an incredible filmmaker. So this movie takes place from the perspective of a presence that's in a house, some type of supernatural
poltergeist presence.
Yeah, and so the whole movie is from the presence perspective. So what that means is like Steven Soderbergh, who shot the movie and directed the movie, he's behind the camera the whole time, and his family moves into a house. Lucy Liu, Chris Sullivan are the two like lead stars of it. Julia Fox is in it as well. And you're trying to figure out why this presence is there, and the whole time the camera's following the family around the house as if it's the, you know, whatever the supernatural power is. So it's an interesting way to make a movie, because you are kind of following the action of the film through that camera. You are like the camera is a character in a way, literally. So that's one option that's in theaters. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. I would give it a 4 out of 5. It's through a company called Neon, who did Long Legs, and like a lot of these smaller studios are releasing a lot of great, you know, great films that you would normally wouldn't see in the bigger studio system. So that's probably the biggest option out right now. January is kind of a slower month.
Hey, you guys, Kevin, can I give you another Netflix show that's it was awesome, and it was a series, American Primeval with Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah, I want to see this. Peter Berg did this, right?
Peter Berg did it, and it's about the fight for land back in the post-Civil War between the Mormons and the Native Americans and the government. And Taylor Kitsch is awesome in it. It's very violent. It's very violent, but it's really, really well.
I love Taylor Kitsch in Lone Survivor. He's so good in that movie.
He's just a great actor,
yeah,
man.
He's very good.
So American Primeval is also a must-watch.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I've heard amazing things about it. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's fantastic. I mean, and I love Peter Berg. I feel like he's underrated. I mean, he had that stretch where he did Lone Survivor, then he did Deepwater Horizon, which was incredible.
He did The Kingdom too, didn't he?
The Kingdom.
So good.
Friday Night.
Yeah, that guy's
Friday
brilliant.
Night
he's brilliant. Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, he's one of those filmmakers that I just feel is completely underrated.
He's got a good resume.
Oh, and by the way, in American Primeval, the main villain went to Damascus High School.
Oh, really?
Hey, he played football for Damascus High School. I think he went to the University of West Virginia, but he's a local dude. Can't remember his name. First name was Tom. I got to look that up, but it's a must watch.
All right, I'll check that out. Yeah, and then there's a movie called Better Man, which is in theaters. I don't know if you guys heard about this. You know who Robbie Williams is?
He's Silly Tune by Pearl Jam. I know that. It's a top fiver.
Better Man?
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, it's definitely one of their top five ditties.
It's a great song.
So good.
I mean, it's not even slow, but it's definitely good.
I can tell you this, sight unseen, Better Man the song, better than Better Man the movie.
What's this?
What Drab T-shirt was telling
me. What's Better Man about?
This is. Do you guys know who Robbie Williams is?
He's a
singer.
I know the name.
He's a washed-up singer. A washed-up boy bander, I think, right?
I didn't know anything really about him, but you definitely heard like this song called Millennium that he did. If you played it, you would know it. But I don't really necessarily know him, to be honest. But the movie itself is basically directed by the guy who did The Greatest Showman. And so basically it's such a strange concept, but the character, it's about his story and his rise to fame and his fall and all these things. But the lead character, him, is played, it's a CGI monkey that is on screen. And so everybody else in the movie is a human being, except for, but nobody sees him as that. The reason why they did it is apparently when the filmmaker met with Robbie Williams, he said, you know, what kind of animal do you associate yourself with? And he goes, a monkey, because he kind of a performing monkey aspect. Like he goes out on stage and just does his songs, then goes back. And that's kind of the way he saw himself. So they center the whole movie around the character as a monkey, and the effects are done very similar to the way they did the Planet of the Apes films. So it looks incredible. And after a while you do get used to it. It's actually an incredible film. I was blown away by how much I liked it.
I want to hear Drab T-shirt's opinion. Drab's
homing at the mouth here. I haven't seen the movie, of course, because I wouldn't waste 2 hours of my life watching this, but it's the dumbest idea I've seen for a movie script. I don't know how this doesn't get thrown in the trash. Robbie Williams, irrelevant. A movie, you're not going to portray yourself. A monkey's going to be you, a CGI monkey. And because why did you pick? Because you feel less evolved than other people or some weird thing. It made no sense. Of course, the movie, how much did it cost? $110 million to make. And it made.
Yes, no, man. And it thumbs down.
$15 million.
Doesn't it sound like everyone's passing around a doobie and they say, you know what? Why don't, let's have a monkey play you, dude. That's funny.
What a great concept.
Hey Drav, do you have plans on Super Bowl weekend? We want to go see it together.
You're tying this segment up with a bow. I like it.
I'm sized for a friendship day on at the exact time.
What's
of the
your
Super Bowl.
Rating?
I gave it a 4.5. I dug it.
Oh, jeez. He likes everything.
No, you know what? It's
I love that.
It's 88% on Rotten Tomatoes, yeah. And the popcorn meter, which I've added, which is the audience, is 90%.
Dude, the
people
movie,
dig it.
Okay. Here's the thing. What Drab just said is where I was thinking the first before I sat down to watch it. I'm like, I have no idea who the heck this guy is. Why is the lead character a monkey? The movie cost $100 million. I had the exact argument. And then I sat down and it like just took me away. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, so anyways, and if you have a chance, I've mentioned we mentioned The Brutalist on the show already. That's the one of the big Oscar films coming out. That's up for the Academy Awards this year for 10 Oscars with Adrian Brody.
We barely mentioned it, but we know about it.
Okay, well, just if you have a chance, I mean, we live in a really cool area where we have, and again, I'll be very brief about this, but we have a very limited format of projection in our area at the AFI Silver. In Silver Spring, where they can play a movie on 70mm film, and I'm not going to go into why that, you know, because I know it'd be kind of boring. But if you are into like watching movies the way they're designed to be seen, or if you really care about projection and you want to see a film the way it's meant to be seen, it is playing there. And I went there a couple weeks ago to see it, and it blew my mind. And it's in one of the most powerful films. It's a film about an architect who, you know. You know, leaves post-war Europe after World War II and comes to America and moved to Pennsylvania to build a life. And it's a powerful story. And Brutalism is an architecture format. So he's an architect. But I highly recommend it. Adrian Brody, Felicity Jones, Guy Pearce. It's one of the best movies of the year. I absolutely loved it. And it's up for 10 Oscars. And just I highly recommend seeing it. So.
All right, Kevin.
Thanks,
Kevin. 4 out of 5 to Presence. That's the horror movie with the poltergeist and the camera from, I don't know, Soderbergh's perspective.
And then four and a half for next week.
It's called Better Man Cakes, yeah, not the monkey movie.
The monkey movie is what I'll...
Yeah. All right, Kevin. We'll see a movie Sunday. With you during the Super Bowl.
Let's go to Better Man on Super Bowl day.
All right. All right. Talk to you next
Bowl
week.
Day. It's called Super Bowl Sunday.
Super
Hello.
Bowl day. Who calls it that?
That's Kevin McCarthy from Fox 5. We're the Junkies.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming right back. Welcome back, Junkies. Come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. You never know where these poll results are going to go. I thought it would be a runaway that he's a creep. 69% say creep. 31% giving him the benefit of the doubt. You can vote at Junks Radio, our Surfside poll of the day about Justin Tucker.
Make your voice heard.
So we wanted to touch on some rumors about uniform changes.
I love it. These segments get me horny. Talking about name and or uniform changes, I'm all in.
Bram Weinstein, who's the play-by-play announcer for the Washington Commanders, said on his podcast that the Commanders are considering making some changes, some small changes to the uniform, though he says there's no timeline. His quote is, will that happen anytime soon? I don't think so, but that's a change you may see in the not-too-distant future. Now, to give you a little background on the NFL rules, teams are restricted from making uniform changes more than once every five seasons.
Okay.
So Washington would typically have to wait until 2027 to introduce a new look. But they say extenuating circumstances, such as their recent ownership change, could allow them to accelerate that timeline. And that's speculation.
Mm. Like it. Like to
but
hear
what
that.
Does this what does this signify to you, Cakes? Does this signify that something larger is brewing?
Well, it I mean
oh, you know where he's going with this.
This completely just, it dovetails with the fact that I'm resolute that they will change their name at some point. And look, this timeline, if they don't give the Harris Group like a some sort of exemption. And it's 2027. I said by 2027, I believe the name will be changed. And if you change the name, then of course you're going to tweak the uniforms with a name change. You're not going to go with the fill-in uniforms that came out in 2022.
Weinstein added, if I had to guess, and I'm guessing, something that merges their old Redskins look into a more modern feel with those colors. I know this ownership group really, really, really wants to lean into the past.
Right.
Yeah.
The easiest way to do that and merge the new with the old is to have something very reminiscent of that look.
Yeah, I would go back to something that's very similar to the iconic uniform that Washington fans are used to. Not this weird bastardization of the colors.
I could see it happening in a couple of years. But if the NFL sticks to this rule, it's going to be 2027.
Which isn't
well,
that
it's a couple
far
of years.
Away.
Yeah, it's a couple of years.
2027 is not that far from where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's less than 2 years.
Three more seasons.
Yeah.
So they added the gold pants this year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like their uniforms? See, I'm not a uniform guy, so I'm turning to you, Cakes, because you're a uniform guy. Like, to me, it doesn't matter that much.
I was anti-black. I know everyone's trendy with the black.
But that's the Jaden Daniels jersey
meant
you have.
Nothing to me.
But now you
but
love it.
But once I got that Jaden Daniels black five, I loved it.
Yeah.
But I will say, again, I don't know. I guess some people get so stuck in their positions they can never change their opinion. So I changed my opinion on that. I didn't like the black. Now I like it.
I like the black unis. I don't love the burgundy jersey with the big Commanders underneath the collar. Mm-hmm. Not a fan of that. The white is okay. But just go back to something that's close to what Skins fans were used to for so many years.
Yeah, but like the Seahawks changed. They're not like the old Seahawks.
You know, it's a modernized version of their older logo that they've had since the 70s.
I wish the Seahawks would bring it back.
Yeah, a lot of teams
you know what people love? Yeah. When the Seahawks bring back their 70s and 80s style
right.
uniforms
they should do it all the
for
time.
A few games.
I like the
people love that look.
I like the Buccaneers old look.
But I'm not the right person to ask because I kind of like when the Seahawks break out their highlighter uniforms. I don't mind that. But I also like their classic look, too, with the gray helmet. Like, I can do both.
You like most things.
I like most
you like most unis.
I like most tweaks to uniforms. Yes. That is true.
800-636-1067. Do you think something larger is in play here? Jason, does this signal anything to you?
I mean, they clearly would love to go back to the Redskins and the Redskins colors, but they can't go back to the name. So they want to make changes. They absolutely do. Does it mean there's going to be a name change in correlation with the color change? I don't know. I don't think so. But they clearly want to hang on to that.
They have a new president.
And you know what? The fans want to see. They got a new president, the guy from Campbell's, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So, and that's what the story says. He's probably not going to make a big uniform change
Rams
in the first year.
Rams quotes are, he's not going to walk in the door and 3 months later change something, which is why we should hit the brakes. Nothing's going to happen fast. I'm sure he's got ideas, but they're not going to do anything overnight. There's going to be a lot of thought put into it,
mm-hmm.
which I think makes all the sense in the world. Why would you rush it? If this is going to be the last name under the Harris ownership group, you better put a lot of thought into it, what it's going to be, what the rebrand's going to look like, what the uniforms are going to look like. Like you don't
if you
just
change
do it, snap
the name.
Of a finger.
Because teams change uniforms all the time and don't change names. You just mentioned
that is true.
The Seahawks. You can go through countless teams mm-hmm. that change or tweak uniforms. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. I saw some negative reaction this week. The Mets have been changing their uniforms over the years, and they've mm-hmm. just gotten worse, according to most fans.
Right.
I don't know if it signals anything larger. Valdez, Drab, do you think that this signals something bigger, that they're tweaking the uniform potentially?
Yes. Oh, sorry. Yes, I definitely think so. I'm kind of lockstep with Cakes about this.
Yeah, come on over, Valdez. There's room over here. Jump in. The pool's warm.
It's just embarrassing to change the name 400 times. It's just embarrassing for the organization.
Do you think something larger is in play?
I mean, I know they probably do want to change the name. I just, maybe it correlates with the new stadium.
I just think it's an easy thing to tweak. Other teams have done it, didn't change their name, and you get brand new sales.
I'm with you. Drab, you wanted to chime larger. In?
Well, it just shows to me that the people in charge are unsatisfied with the brand overall, whether it's the uniforms, right. The name, whatever it is. They don't like
or
it
Or it's
as
a way
is.
To squeeze out more money.
No, I don't think so.
Why?
Because these guys grew up. You squeeze out more money if you
squeeze out more money by making it look more like
the
old.
Then every team would change their uniforms all the time. That's just not. Or their names. They don't do that.
I don't get the sense that this group would nickel and dime their fan base.
And dime their fan base, but he's made a point publicly of saying that he needs to recoup his money. That, you know, they spent $6 billion on the team,
he wouldn't do it if he liked it.
Like, he didn't when he bought the Sixers, he didn't change their name because they have a good name. When he bought the Devils, he didn't change their name. It's been an established name. People like the name.
I thought this was about the uniform. It's not about the uniform. It's about the name.
It's about
hand in hand. They don't go hand in hand, the name and the uniform.
The uniform is going to come first.
It necessarily does because, as we said, we gave 19 different mentions of teams that have tweaked their uniforms. The Lions, the Rams, every team, the Eagles I could think of.
I know, but we're talking about this 2 days after Kevin Sheehan says that he has a source that says they're going to drop.
Kevin, I don't know that he said he had a source, did he?
He said he's hearing.
And someone told me
I'm sure he does.
That Kevin has been diehard. The name blows from day one, and he's just trying to manifest this.
Did you know Don Van Natta went on Al Galdi's podcast and said they're going to change the name, too?
I heard that.
No, I don't know who I've heard of Don Van Natta.
He's
our
the
show,
guy that writes all the articles about the toxic workplace.
He just wrote the article about Snyder.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard the name.
It was him and Seth Wickersham.
There are signals all over the place that the name eventually is going to get changed. Now, I know we're doing the uniform thing, but if you have a name change, of course you're going to tweak the uniforms or have brand new uniforms.
They'll tweak
everything's
the
going hand in hand here.
All right, but they're gonna if they're tweaking the uniforms, they're tweaking them way before they change the name.
That's possible.
Yeah.
They're not changing the name this offseason.
No, I'm still standing by the before they tee up that ball in 2027, week one, they will have a new name.
I think it's just pretty common to change
names. And I think where Bram mentions the fact that this new president is in place. That gives him plenty of time to
the Campbell
do whatever focus groups you want to do and to plot it out and to get it approved by the league.
Good luck finding a name that's not going to be just hated by a large percentage.
I'm with you, EB. I think that it could signal, but I don't think it's signaling a name change. I think they want to make more money. They don't love the uniforms. It's an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
And this guy from Campbell Soup, you want to make an assumption that he's all about the name change? He's going to be the president. He's about selling seats.
Sure.
That's the main job of the president. Sell more suites, sell more seats, make more money.
Well, if they go 14-6 every year, they're going to do that.
Right.
So, isn't there a rule that you can't change the name more than once within 5 years as well?
Yes. I don't know if it's the exact number of years, but yes.
I thought it was five.
There's definitely you can't just keep willy-nilly changing
the
name.
What's 5 years after 2022? 2027?
Right.
Is that when they change it in 2022?
Interesting.
You know, Case is always talking about how branding, it's important for branding, and this idea that we don't understand branding. I very much understand branding. what's also not great about branding is changing your name all the time.
Yeah.
Trust me. Odyssey, Entercom, CBS Radio? What are we?
We're Odyssey now, but the one that I think of is, what is the it's not Sprite. What's the one that they just changed to something like six? You can't even think of it. It's like Sparkle or something like that.
It's Drab, you're a soda guy. The new lemon lime rebrand. It's Starry.
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 I said Sparkle.
It's not a great
Starry. Name. It
went from Sierra Mist to Starry.
That is a catastrophic.
It's not
That's
great.
A catastrophic
It's
miss.
Not fantastic.
So Sierra Mist doesn't exist
no
anymore.
Good luck finding a Sierra Mist bottle.
It'll come back.
You think so?
Starry will fail.
Starry isn't fantastic.
I believe Brett Oliverio is a big fan of Starry. I think he uses that down there at
I switched to Starry.
Yeah.
Well, he must have got a deal or something.
I got a good deal.
Not because he likes the name.
I don't think they...
Huh?
They just want people buying their product.
I was distraught. I went to a place. I don't need to say the place.
Starry.
I went to a place this week that flipped from Coke to Pepsi. It's distraught. They had Coke there before, which I love.
Out. You should have walked out.
And now they got Pepsi products.
I swear to God, I can't tell the difference, but I don't care. Oh. I just drink either one.
Oh, I can definitely. If you line up a Diet Coke, a Coke Zero, and a Diet Pepsi, I could just spot them a mile away. These taste buds, bazillion.
Yeah, I'm not that
very
locked
discerning
in.
When it comes to soda.
I'm not that locked in.
I'm a soda expert. Yeah.
I think it doesn't necessarily signal something big, but maybe I'm just being stubborn. Maybe EB's just being stubborn. Where the name isn't going to change, guys.
So the line in here, though the front office is aware the Commander's moniker isn't the most popular among fans, that doesn't sway you guys into thinking that they're going to change it?
No, because
they know
previously,
the fan base for the most part thinks it
sticks. I could give you quotes previously of what they've said about the name where they haven't indicated. They basically said, well, we won't rule it out.
Right.
But they don't seem like they're all about
slow playing. No, they know they have a bunch of other things they need to take care of before
that's
change
the
name.
The stadium is the number one thing.
Understood.
And that's not going to happen in 2027. So I don't see them changing the name before they get a new stadium.
Oh, I do.
All right. Well, we can wager on it.
I mean, I've already got a wager
in
the book.
Right.
I'm going to go broke wagering.
Why?
Yeah, if you are
so confident, you should be winning.
Because it ain't happening.
Or I'm going to get rich.
Exactly.
Well, you let me know. You let me know.
I mean, my gambling money is all my endorsement money. That's all evaporated. I haven't done a live read in weeks.
Hey, we told you we'd give you a chance to win tickets throughout the show to go see the Harlem Globetrotters. Caller number 10 right now. We'll hook you up with a 4-pack of tickets to see the Globetrotters. That's coming up March 7th at Eagle Bank Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. Just be caller number 10 at 800-636-1067.
Don't forget, you can win an ultimate tournament trip to Las Vegas just by listening to 106.7 The Fan. Win a trip for you and three friends during the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Includes flights, hotel, and brace yourself for this, $20,000 in spending money, too. Just download the free Odyssey app. Listen to The Fan for at least 1 hour. Listen tomorrow for at least an hour for another entry. It's Odyssey's Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/slamdunk and get your entry in.
All right, so at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Brian Keefe on. And we mentioned it earlier. It's going to be tough for us because it's hard to be super excited for him and for us when you're 6-41. And he's got, like, the hardest job in the NBA.
I haven't heard him talk to the media in a while. I mean, I'm sure he does.
I got very much Greg Popovich vibes from him when we interviewed him.
I assume that he speaks to the media only when he has to.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He's not going to go out of his way.
He doesn't care.
I mean, I assume he does post game pressers.
Yeah.
I heard him on a pregame show.
Yeah.
Heard him on a pregame show a few weeks ago. I was driving around because you can listen to Wizards games on our stations.
What'd they ask him?
I can't remember. I just remember thinking this guy's
trying
to be
you?
Positive about like the game plan, and they're probably going to get blasted by 30.
And then how do you
points.
Handle?
Yeah,
I mean, he'll probably turn it into a positive. Say, look, he was just trying to help the team win games by scoring.
He's going
to
be
taking
positive.
It into his own hands.
Yeah,
I would guess
it's just going to be hard to talk positivity. When you're 6-41.
Yeah, I think the positive is that the young guys that they drafted, who are very young, they all seem to be trending in the right direction. Now, is that going to be a direction where those three guys are going to lead them and transform them into a winning franchise in a couple seasons? Remains to be seen. I think they need to hit on somebody who's going to be a megastar.
By the way, going back...
But hey, Sarr could win Rookie of the Year.
Going back to the Sierra Mist thing, I don't know if this is true. You guys all saw this in a tweet that they're saying the reason why they changed it is because of a lawsuit. There's a flight attendant. Her name is Sierra Mist.
Oh, really?
Oh.
I mean, is that actually real?
I don't know.
That's, I saw the same tweet.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Didn't do background research. Like
well, then Sierra Mist can't come back if you lost the lawsuit.
But they still came up with a terrible name and Starry, in my opinion.
Terrible.
Can we play the Cam Newton audio from First Take yesterday? So Cam Newton's a regular now. I don't know, once a week, twice a week on First Take with Stephen A. Smith. And I think Stephen A. Smith was surprised by Cam Newton's answer, but he basically said, what would you rather have, the MVP, which you won, or Super Bowl victory? Here's Cam Newton.
No, he's trying to find it, JP.
Oh, he's trying to find it. I thought he had it.
Yeah, no.
Well, we can discuss amongst ourselves.
I'm not surprised he said that.
He goes, I kind of am surprised because nobody would say that.
Nobody should say that.
He shouldn't, but he's the one guy that I
know. Now you're in hindsight, you're going, oh, yeah, of course it's Cam would say that. But no one would think you would say that.
But I'll agree with him in this respect, and I don't know that the question was posed this way. What would you rather have? All right, I'm going to go with great. Would you rather have Charles Barkley's career, Hall of Famer, never won a championship? Or would you rather be Robert Horry, okay player, just happened to be on a bunch of championship teams?
Oh, I'd rather be Big Shot Bob.
That's not...
I'd rather be Charles Barkley. I'd rather be the Hall of Famer.
No, I'd rather have... I'd rather have
well,
rings.
That's two totally different extremes.
Yeah, that wasn't the question.
Too. I mean, Cam might still be a Hall of Famer. He might. I mean, who knows? He redefined the position in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but I'm saying is he adds... I'm putting him in the Charles Barkley role of...
It screams someone who has never won before. Yeah. Although he did win at Auburn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he cited that.
Because, I don't know, the guys I've been around who've won championships, like, it's so cherished by
them. It smacks as incredibly selfish to me. That's the way I took it.
I think he was trying to say...
It tells me he cares about stats and compiling numbers more than he cares about winning.
I don't think it was about stats. I think he thinks that there are certain players who are remembered. I'm pretty sure he cited Allen Iverson.
Right.
Allen Iverson is thought of as a great player, Hall of Fame player, didn't win a championship.
I know.
I'd rather be Allen Iverson than somebody that just happens to be on a championship team.
I know he was singling out guys like Trent Dilfer.
Right.
And, you know.
Did he trash Trent Dilfer?
Well, I mean, he kind of did, he won a title.
Below average players have won before. Yeah.
He named several, though.
As opposed to great players who haven't.
Everyone
throws Dilfer under the bus.
Selfish. Just selfish by Cam Newton. And cared more about his individual, the way he's viewed, than he cares about having won a title.
Yeah, I don't think it's that black and white. Like, initially I'm thinking, I won a championship. But would I rather be a great?
Yeah, but just doesn't have that. You're still great. You just didn't win an MVP. Like, you could still be a great player. Like, you could still be Cam Newton.
I'm going to guess.
You just don't have an MVP on your thing.
Here's what I'm going to guess.
Right?
If Lamar Jackson goes through his entire NFL career and say he doesn't win a Super Bowl, but he wins four MVPs, I guarantee you, if you ask Lamar, would you rather have one Super Bowl trophy or four MVPs? Lamar Jackson is going to say, I'd rather win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the conversation was a little more nuanced, Cakes, because it wasn't about a trophy. It was kind of about how you're remembered. Like, he'd be remembered as a great player because he had a great season, which happened to win an MVP.
I want to be remembered as winning a Super Bowl because people are going to forget your MVPs.
His point is your
gaudy stats. They're going to remember you winning Super Bowls.
I don't think you're getting what can't. Did you happen to hear the segment?
I saw the clip. Yes, I watched it.
Okay. I think Cam Newton's saying that you want to be remembered as a player for being a great player versus being a scrub who happens to have a championship.
But that's a different dichotomy. You could still be a great player and having never won an MVP.
I know. I'm just telling you what Cam was saying.
I understand.
He brought up Trent Dilfer, and I can't remember who else he brought up.
Bring up some other great players that didn't win MVPs, but they were still great players.
Sure.
I don't know.
Drew Brees.
Yeah, did he never win an MVP?
I don't think he won an MVP.
But he won a Super Bowl.
He did. Philip
Rivers. Which to me is way more important. Like, you can rack up all the MVPs, but if you haven't won a Super Bowl, if you haven't won a title,
Philip Rivers ever won an MVP?
You come up kind of hollow.
Rivers? I don't think so.
If Philip Rivers is going to go to the Hall, is he already in the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't think he's going.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Oh, he's got too many yards.
I don't think he gets in the Hall of Fame.
If Ovi had never won a cup, but scores 950 goals in his career, he would trade all those goals for winning a cup.
I guarantee you, he'd
trade it.
And I know this isn't like, it's kind of a joke on our show, but would you rather have that Emmy that you covet for our 28-year career. Let's say we could have been a flash in the pan 3 years, well, but you hit an Emmy.
But that's totally different. That's totally different. That's a different thing. I'm saying, would I still rather have a great career and not have an achievement?
Right.
Or still have a great career? I still want to have a great career.
Yeah.
It just comes across as, like Kicks is saying, it comes across as selfish.
Totally.
And it comes across as me first. And
100%.
You know, most players, if not all, would say, I want to win a
does it surprise you
ring.
That Cam Newton is a me guy? I mean, that surprises nobody in this room.
No, and that was my initial thought about it, but then I thought about it more. And I was like, I'd rather be Barkley than Derek Fisher.
I know, but those are two extremes. I think your better example is Drew Brees. That's a great example. Would you rather be Cam Newton or Drew Brees?
Well, both of them.
Oh, you'd
so one
be
won
Drew
a Super
Brees.
Bowl. Yeah, I'd rather be Drew Brees. Yeah.
Right. Let's just say Drew Brees only played 10 years.
But would you rather be Cam Newton or Trent Dilfer?
I'd rather be Trent Dilfer because I won a Super Bowl. I won
Cam
something
Newton
that
didn't
matters.
Have this. He's not going to Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Cam Newton didn't have this
the
fantastic
only thing
career.
He had going for him, though, is he did redefine the position.
Okay. Yeah. He was running. He was a running quarterback, but he wasn't a great quarterback.
He's a me guy that played for that loser, Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at Cam Newton.
Well, they have one really
that's
great
his legacy
year.
To me.
You guys are lying if you would rather be Trent Dilfer than Cam Newton.
Not lying at all.
I don't believe it.
He brought up Nick Foles.
Those are two extremes.
He brought up Dilfer and Nick Foles. I mean,
again,
okay, Nick Foles won a Super
Bowl.
Those
guys were generally bums.
Yeah.
The great comparison is, would you rather be Drew Brees? Let's just say Drew Brees.
But that's not his argument. We're talking about Cam's argument.
Well,
Cam's
bringing up losers.
Well, that's his point.
Well,
I think he also brought up Brad Johnson.
Huh?
Drew Brees was a record holder.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
I know, but let's just say he only played 10 years.
No, but he brought up Brad Johnson, Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, but
he brought up
I'd rather be Brad Johnson.
Nick
I had
Foles,
a solid NFL career.
Nick
and I
Foles,
won a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Nick Foles, the flash.
And he brought
pan.
Up Trent Dilfer, Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, but those guys
so his point was I would rather be Cam Newton with my MVP than those three guys. And I think I probably would agree with
selfish.
Them because you,
right,
no, you had a better career than those
all right,
guys.
But then I would counter and say, I bet you'd rather be Drew Brees, who was
well,
a great quarterback.
Sure.
And he has a Super Bowl trophy.
Sure, but that
no
wasn't
MVPs.
A discussion.
No MVPs.
Yeah, but you know what? A lot more fans are going to remember that Nick Foles in his story won a Super Bowl
right.
than they are going to remember Cam Newton win an MVP.
Definitely.
Yeah, but they'll remember Cam Newton's career more.
I mean,
not really.
Maybe just because, like Eric's saying, he was
to
a different
me,
style
MVPs
quarterback.
Pale to Super Bowl wins. Like
you're focusing on the trophy. The discussion really was about his career.
Yeah,
MVP was part of his career. His point is, I would rather have my career where I had this incredible season that I won MVP than be a bum who just happened to win a Super Bowl.
Well,
all right.
A lot of people would disagree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I definitely disagree with it.
Coming up next, we'll shift gears, talk some hoops. Head coach of the Washington Wizards, Brian Keefe, joins us next here on the Junkies.